Before I just jump off HER2, I got to ask you what you thought about the TDM1 stuff with HER2 that was presented at ASCO. I keep waiting to see whether any kind of HER2 strategy is going to come out with this. I haven't heard anything exciting yet. Do you consider TDM1 exciting?
It's a great question. So again, one of the arts of organizing ASCO is that you're trying to tell a story. It's a bit like putting on the school play. And so we had a nice little bit of drama there. We had two presentations, one led by Tom Stinchcomb, one led by Bob Lee, about HER2, quote-unquote, activated patients all treated with TDM1, this antibody-drug conjugate that's used in breast cancer. For Tom's study, they were looking at immunohistochemistry, high-level protein expression as the marker. They also looked at gene amplification. For Bob's study, they were looking at HER2 mutations.
So the first one was amplification. It was like breast cancer.
Yeah, well, they were looking at IHC 3+ versus 2+. And in the HER2 3+, they got a 20% response rate. It was a small study. That was four patients. And if you looked at those four patients, one of the four had a HER2 mutation. And not all of them had gene amplification.
So what about the HER2 mutant patients?
If you looked in Bob's study in the HER2 mutant patients, they had a 44% response rate. So you might say, but they're not overlapping. It's a bit like the exon 14 and the MET amplification. If you really want to capture everyone potentially susceptible to TDM1, you'd look at both IHC 3+ and HER2 mutations. But here's the sobering thought. The median PFS was something like 4 months. So sure, that's great. TDM1 is there if your back's against the wall. Is it a game changer? Unfortunately, not for these people yet.